Welcome to Module 7, Outsourcing and Team Building. In this module, we'll define support and how it can take shape, and then determine what you need and want in each of these zones to best support you and your work moving forward. So first, let's define support. Support is something that can bear some or all of the weight of a particular task, need, or act. We think of support as enabling or enhancing something else's functionality. In the case of our work, we'll look at support from both an internal and external lens, meaning the ways that you're responsible for and can establish support for yourself and what you need from other people or resources. From an internal perspective, we look to many of the skills and works that you have done in this program. Skills such as problem identification, insight building, distress tolerance, and radical acceptance are all internal supports and tools that you can use to help you put the work into practice. For example, if setting boundaries is something you're working towards, knowing why you need a boundary and the effects of not having one, how not setting boundaries is connected to shame, what is and is not in your control or your responsibility when you set a boundary, and how to manage the distress when you do, are all supports to help you do something that previously felt inaccessible or overwhelming. And now, well, it may still feel hard, scary, and still a little overwhelming, but the task has been broken down into parts that feel easier to move through and access. You'll likely have some internal supports that we haven't addressed yet, or might be outside of our program scope. This comes in when we consider deeper learning on a given topic. So for example, in phase 5, we're going to dive much deeper into the art of cognitive reframing, emotion surfing, and assertive communication skills and techniques. External supports are the people and programs that you can leverage to support you in your work. Now, we'll focus our work particularly on relationships in this module and thinking about who and how support can show up in different relationships, and how to work through it if we don't get it. Before we dive into the work that you'll cover in this worksheet, I want us to briefly revisit the idea of needs and wants, because we have to be mindful when we make requests from ourselves and others that not everything will be reasonable, feasible, and deliverable. If we can be clear about the non-negotiables and be flexible with what's optional, it'll help eliminate that feeling of loneliness and distress that can occur when our wants aren't met. So remember that a need is a non-negotiable, in this case, from someone else or ourselves. As we consider needs in the context of support, labeling something as a need means that without it, we will not be able to achieve our goals. Conversely, a want is optional. It's a nice to have. It might make things easier, faster, more accessible, and we can function without it if we don't get it. So for example, when I really began my work on assertive and honest communication, I could identify that I need to have a partner with whom I could feel safe being honest. This is a non-negotiable. Now, I want a partner who will sit and talk about emotions and have deep conversations with me for hours. While Jordan has been able to meet all of my needs in that regard, he's not always able or willing to meet my want. And that's okay. It might feel disappointing. I get to feel that way. But not getting what I want doesn't mean I'm not safe and supported. It doesn't mean he doesn't love me or that he's not interested in making space to support those conversations. It just means that sometimes he cannot give me everything I want. Okay, so let's dive in. Using our worksheet, we'll first develop our list of goals, roles, and residual stuck points wherein we need support. This is going to be the content in column 1. Your goals will be copied over from the work you did in phase 3. Now, you can break down goals into smaller chunks if it's evident that support or needs might look different for different parts of each of your goals. Your roles will be copied over from previous modules. I will note that you may feel like listing the roles can become a little bit redundant if your goals encompass a given role. We just want to make sure that the essential aspects of self are covered. So if you've already defined a goal that makes adding the role seem extra or superfluous, don't do it. And then residual stuck points are any pieces that we've started to list in this phase. So consider the resistance to making changes with your time and energy expenditures. What aspects of radical acceptance are feeling inaccessible and overwhelming at present? What barriers have you defined wherein you feel like you need more support to address them effectively? Take inventory of everything you see as needing to do or having value in the work you're doing in this program, and where you feel like, given the skills and supports you have right now, it would feel too hard to accomplish. From here, we'll move to column 2, internal support. We'll break down support into thoughts or mindset, emotional intelligence, energy consumption and support, and behaviors, which will include tools for addressing both actions, time budgeting, and communication. What internal supports do you need for each item listed in column 1? Now, there are reflection questions to help you throughout the column to look at how you can break things down into those thoughts, feelings, and action pillars, and really think about what you need to feel confident in or push forward with your goals. So, for example, suppose I consider my goal of being more direct about what I need from others instead of always being a yes person. In that case, I might consider my ability to challenge and reframe my negative self-talk as an internal support I need more learning on, which, lucky for me, is one of the topics of phase 5. I can also see that the skills we've developed thus far on radical acceptance and responsibility and distress tolerance will be extremely beneficial for me in the work on this goal. Learning to shed my shame story that I'm responsible for everything and everyone has given me incredible space to begin to shift my role as a yes person. Now, one shame game that I want to be sure to take note of here is that shame is going to try and get you lost in a chase for endless needs. It wants to overwhelm you with the notion that you need too much to ever be ready to do X. Wants to make you feel exhausted and have you just settle back into complacency. Be intentional here about the idea of a need and want, and remember one of our key radical acceptance points. You will never feel ready or completely motivated when we move towards something scary or new. We'll always be able to play the what-if game, no matter how much we prepare. And if we're trying to mitigate any risk, then we've taken away the opportunity for change. Remember, fear is not synonymous with danger. We can and deserve to address and move through fear. Our goal is to prepare ourselves so we can do it anyway. Now, we'll move on to columns 4 and 5, who and what. We'll come back to column 3 in just a little bit. First, we need to consider who are our supports for each of our roles, goals, and stuck points. And we'll put this in column 4. Who are the people who can best serve and support you? Who are the people you tend to lean on the most? Are there people in the wings that might really help you stay engaged and accountable? Can you create a diversified list of people so that you don't overinvest or expect too much from one or a select few? Or have options if someone can't give you what you need at a given moment? Suppose I consider here my role as a mom and my overarching goal of being present, flexible, compassionate, in different roles and responsibilities. Now, in that case, external supports might include my husband, close friends and family, Everly's doctor, parent groups, teachers at school, my therapist, babysitters or other caregivers, neighbors, and more. Be sure to also consider social media and technology here in ways that it can be additive support. So, for example, I connected a lot with several people on Instagram when Everly was a baby, navigating really tricky sleep issues. And don't forget about the supports you have in this program. From here, we're going to move into column 5 to consider the what for each of the who's. What do you need and want from your supports? What might you consider to help you free up space in your TME budget? Now, I want you to be as exhaustive as possible, and don't concern yourself now with whether or not it's a need or a want. We'll come back to this later. Try and think about each person or group that you listed in column 4, and more broadly, you can consider what support can look like as a whole, given each of the goals. Do you need one night a week to dedicate to this work and stay focused on it and break it up into manageable pieces? Do you want your kids not to interrupt you when you're working? Do you need your partner to take on more household roles so that you can have time to engage in other activities or feel less burnt out at the end of the night and find yourself in that constant space of decision fatigue? Would it be helpful to have your whole work team read and talk more about burnout and how to change the workplace culture so that you can all be more supportive and shift the narrative around productivity and hustle culture? How about if you're doing the work alongside someone else or had a set place that you could talk about it with others? Once you finish this, go back to columns 2 and 5, and I want you to highlight everything that you can define as a need. We want these to stand out so they come to the forefront of this process and take center stage for the next step. When you look at these needs, you might notice shame trying to convince you that you don't really need these things, or maybe that you're being selfish or asking for too much. Shame might also try and convince you that you're never going to get those things and that they're out of reach. You're never going to be able to do the internal work to let go of your limiting beliefs, or you've been doing self-help work for so long with no change, so why would this time be any different? You'll see your asks for others, and as you feel that lump get bigger and tighter in your throat, start playing the what-if and guesser games. The what-if game is when you begin to play out the worst-case scenario and then assume that they'll happen, so you talk yourself out of making the ask. The guesser game is similar to that in that you start to talk yourself out of asking someone else to show up for you or to support you in some way because you're considering everything that they have on their plate and you don't want them to feel obligated or feel like there's a pressure. And you understand how hard their life is right now, so you don't want to burden them. When that happens, call it out for what it is, a dirty shame tactic. If you get caught in it, pause and take a breath. Give yourself a little space from the work until you've lowered your shame activation and come back when you're ready. Now, finally, we're going to look at columns 3 and 6 and develop our action plan. Now, remember, change is about accumulating 1% micro shifts and changes. So as you look at your needs, I want you to consider the next 2 to 3 small steps or 2 to 3 percentage points in the process. What is the next step you're going to take? And the one after that. So for example, if you identified something in column 2 that you don't have the skills in, so let's say maybe assertive communication, perhaps the next 1% change is to continue to do the work in this program and invest in the communication modules in phase 5 with a little bit more energy and intensity. Maybe after that, the next 1% change is to talk to a safe and supportive person about your goals with communication and why assertive communication is really important to and for you. From here, or maybe your third percentage step, might be to identify a situation in which you've struggled to be assertive in the past, and then practice using your new skills. By the end of these 3 steps, the expectation isn't that you're going to be the world's best assertive communicator, nor is it true that you'll always use assertive communication. The expectation is that you'll continue to make changes to allow yourself to build insight and implement the skills in practice. Once you've done these 3 steps, you can break down change into the next 2 to 3 steps or percentage points. With external supports and in column 6, the first step is to make sure you have identified from who, which is in column 4, you're making the ask for what of column 5. If you need 1 night a week that can be dedicated to your business development or personal well-being, who are you making that ask of? Once you know who, develop your anchor thought. Again, revisiting your why, anchor the reason you're making the ask to this, so that when fear shows up, you can use this to remind yourself why you're making this ask. And then third, make the ask. If it's helpful, you can move through the items you listed and scale them in terms of anxiety or distress level and start with the lowest ones to build self-confidence. You're gonna feel scared and uncomfortable, and this is where you call on the skills that we've developed thus far in this program, and you remind yourself that this is what it looks like to begin this transition from insight building, preparation, to action. Now, one final shame game that I'll note is that it's highly likely that your shame will show up here to make you question if you even want these goals. It'll start to make you fearful of what it would mean to put them out into the world. The judgment that you're going to face from others. And it's going to scare you into thinking that sharing this out loud will make it too real. That's another tricky way that shame keeps us anchored on external validation and connection. Your goals and dreams are already real and valuable, even if the only person that has experienced them is you. Telling people invites them into your life. It doesn't justify or validate it. It and you already are. And when it comes to failure, remember, you went into this program feeling disconnected, resentful, and overwhelmed when you weren't doing this work. So not sharing yourself only led you to feel all these things anyway. As you move through this module, be sure to use the support of the program to help you as well. Again, this is going to be a significant transition module because we're really shifting into more direct action, especially as it involves bringing in other people. But I want to encourage you to get into the arena. You have every right to be there. And if you need a compassionate push or someone to jump up and down with you to celebrate, literally or figuratively, I'm up for both. Just reach out. I can't wait to connect with you to hear how this work begins to shift your perspective in the work. And I'm looking forward to tying all of this together with the idea of self-care in our next module. So with that, let's get to it. And I'll see you back here next time.